did. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Glad you guys are in church and even on playoff Sunday, huh? You guys are here in church. Praise God for that. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we are here in your house, that we are here by divine appointment today, Father God, and that we are here to receive your word. We ask that you open our hearts and minds to do just that and receive the power, the strength, the peace, and the healing that only your word can bring us. And we praise you for that, Lord. And we just ask you that you bless this message today, Father God, that it reaches our hearts, that it speaks to each of us. And how we can live and breathe the gospel in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, false arrest is the name of my sermon title today. Thought a few of you might know a little bit about false arrest. I know I did, but at one point. We may have all claimed to be falsely arrested at some point, huh? Amen. Well, today, someone in our text by the name of Paul is going to be falsely arrested. Amen? He's going to be falsely arrested, falsely accused, and so the story goes. But it's all God's will. Amen? God's will, and God uses all things for his good. So praise God for that. There was a police officer in a small town that stopped a motorist who was speeding down Main Street. Amen? And when he stopped him, he said, "But officer," he said, "I can explain," right? And the officer said, "Just be quiet. I'm going to let you cool your heels in the jail until the chief gets back. You're going to jail." "But officer, I just wanted to say," and the officer said again, he said, "Keep quiet, you're going to jail." A few hours later, the officer looked in on his prisoner and he said, "Lucky for you that the chief is at his daughter's wedding, and he'll be in a good mood when he gets back." And the guy looked at him and said, "Don't count on it." He said, "I'm the groom." Amen, right? And then immediately he let him out, so the story goes. But. Right. Who's going to be sitting in a cell later, I guess, huh? Now, this story wasn't a false arrest. Amen. He was speeding, okay? He probably shouldn't have been arrested, but he got arrested. But the accused, just like in today's text, Paul, was a very important person to the father of the bride. Amen? Very important person to the father of the bride. So last week we saw that Paul and his companions, we talked about they had torn away from the elders, amen, in order to make it on that ship and to continue on to Jerusalem. And as they traveled, it says that some of the brothers from Caesarea had brought them to the home of Nason, who was one of the earliest disciples. And so they arrived in Jerusalem. And when they arrived there, our first verse says that, and we got a lot of verses today, but we're going to get through them. Amen?
Amen.
Says that when they arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers and the sisters received us warmly. Right? Once again, there's a great group of brothers and sisters in Christ waiting for them as they arrive. Amen? Paul had finally made it back to Jerusalem like he wanted to be. But this is the last time he's going to see this beautiful city. Amen? The last time. And because they're about to reject him in the same manner as they rejected our Lord and Savior. Right? And we'll show you some comparisons later. But in the same manner that they had rejected Jesus some 25 plus years earlier. Amen? They're going to repeat that again with false accusations, amen, and a false arrest. So it's like the same thing playing over again. But all of this was to accomplish what Paul had set out to do, amen? Just like they helped our Lord to accomplish what he set out to do, right? It was all God's will, amen? God uses everybody for his good purpose, whether they know it or not, whether they like it or not. His good purpose. Paul's going to make it to Rome only, like I said before, not the way he thought he would. Amen? The bad news is he's going to be in chains, right? But he knew that. He had been prophesied about that, right? But the good news is that the Roman government's going to pay for the trip, amen? They're going to pay for the trip to get him back, to get him to Rome, where he wanted to go in the first place. So, but first, Paul, Luke, and the others are going to be welcomed warmly by the elders of the church. And the leader of the church at this time, his name is James, the brother of Jesus himself. Amen? James is the leader of the church. So he meets him with the elders there. And it says in verse 18 that the next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present. And Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. So he's going to give them a little update on what's been going on. Amen? And like I said, this is James, the half-brother of Jesus, okay? It couldn't be James, the brother of John, because why? He had already been martyred, amen? He had been killed. He was the first apostle to be martyred in chapter 12. And another interesting thing is that it was the James and not Peter who had become the leader of the church, right? Everybody always says that Peter was the leader of the church. Well, after Peter's departure, James had taken over as the leader of the church, amen? And so there was church politics even back then, okay? But James is the leader of the church. But I believe that we can trust Jesus' brother to be a competent leader of the church, I would hope, amen? Amen. So verse 20 says, when they heard this, they praised God, and they said to Paul, you see, brother, how many thousands of Jews have believed, right, because of what he had done, and all of them are zealous for the law. I'm going to break that down, explain that to you. That says a lot, amen? Paul had left, he'd been out on his journeys, right? He's planting churches, he's preaching to everyone, and he's fighting constant persecution, though, everywhere he goes, right? They're running him out of almost every city, right? And he's shaking the dust off his feet, as the Lord told him to do. But Paul was steadfast. He had reached thousands of people for the gospel. That was the Great Commission. He was living out the Great Commission, being an example for all of us. But you see, many of those believers were Messianic Jews, okay? And they were very sensitive towards the law of Judaism, okay? They were sensitive about their laws. They didn't have the New Testament to remind them, amen, that the New Covenant had arrived. That was Paul's job, amen, to go around and he was the New Testament to them, amen? He was letting them know about the New Covenant and that their laws were no longer needed for salvation, okay? And so it says that they were zealous for the law, okay? They were zealous for the old law that they had been following. And speaking to Paul about the Jews, they told him, they have been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to our customs. So what appears to be more important to these people? God's word or their customs, right? Amen? The law or the gospel. That's the difference, right? The law or the gospel. They had praised Paul for his ministry work, but his reputation among the Jewish population, it wasn't very good. It wasn't very good because he was offending a lot of people. Amen? Or at least that's the way they perceived it. Amen? And so they told him in verse 22, they said, what shall we do? They will certainly hear that you have come. Trying to scare them, right? Not going to scare Paul. So what do we tell you? There are four, so do what we tell you, they said. There are four men with us who have made a vow. Take these men, join in their purification rites, and pay their expenses so they can have their heads shaved. Right? Must have been an expensive haircut, like the ones today. At least at my barbershop. But then everyone will know that there's no truth in these reports about you, but that you yourself are living in obedience to the law. As for the Gentile believers, we have written to them our decision that they should abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. And the next day, Paul took the men and purified himself along with them. Then he went to the temple to give notice of the date when the days of purification would end and the offering would be made for each of them. James had told Paul, here's what you got to do. Amen? Here's what you should do. And Paul could have said, I'm not doing that. That goes against everything I've been preaching, right? He could have said, I'm not doing that. But he would go along with it, okay? He would go along with it. Paul had been preaching to everyone that the law was no longer needed for salvation, but he would agree to submit himself to them anyways, okay? And so why would he seemingly go against his own words and agree to these rituals, right? Why was he going to do that? He was trying to keep the peace, first of all, right? He's trying to keep the peace in the church, amen? Keep these people from killing them, too. But he was trying to do what was best for the church at the time, okay? He did this so he could shut them up, okay? To shut them up, and they would say that Paul was okay, right? If Paul could do this, then he was okay. They were going to leave him alone, right? Everything would be good. You see, Paul would become like one of them, okay, in order to continue reaching them for the gospel. Okay? Paul wrote of this in 1 Corinthians when he was in Ephesus. Just prior to this time, he had written this. He said, exactly, he said, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. Amen. To the Jews I became, there it is, like a Jew, to win the Jews, right? To those under the law, I became like one under the law. He said, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those that are under the law.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law.
Amen.
So as to win those not having the law. Talking about the Gentiles. Amen. But Paul didn't live a sinful life in order to reach these people. Amen? He did not live a sinful life. He stayed true to his faith regardless. Okay? Y'all know, I'm going to say y'all because Jimmy from Thursday night, he got me saying, sounding like y'all, right? Y'all know, I've been playing worship music for years. Amen? And we've reached a lot of people for the gospel through our worship ministries. Many different bands, and it's an amazing ministry to be involved in, and I thank God for that. But one time I was invited to a bar, a real bar, okay, to watch a friend's band, a Christian band, play a gig, play a show. And it was a regular alcohol-serving bar at 9 p.m. on a Saturday night, okay, and it was filling up, all right? And they came out to play their Christian music, right? So I went out there, and they tried to convince me that there was people in that bar that needed to hear God's word through their music, right? And I'm sure there was, right? Amen? And, well, I told them, more power to you guys. I was about 5 years into my recovery from alcohol at the time, and I told them, I said, more power to you guys. You know, I was not comfortable being in there with a bunch of drunk people, whether we were playing worship music or not. I wasn't comfortable with that. Amen. I won't even walk down. This is just me, okay? I won't even walk down the liquor aisle in Walmart. I don't need to.
Amen.
Amen? And that's just me, but it's not my thing. Amen? But they had become like the unbeliever to attract the unbeliever.
Amen.
Right? They were doing the same thing. Amen? And so a year later, they lost their drummer for the band. And they were looking for a drummer, and they said it was a paying gig, right? Like, that was going to be the hook, right? I was going to take the job because it was going to pay me money, right? But I told them, I said, I'm not interested. I'm sorry. You know, I wasn't ready for that. I don't know if I'd ever be ready for that. But, you know, it just wasn't my mission. You know, it wasn't my goal. But, you know, and you know, you guys know 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Amen? And I am. I'm still careful today that I'm not going to put myself in certain situations. And you know, it's the same for a lot of us. You know, if you're, you know, Paul didn't have a problem going anywhere, okay, for the Great Commission. And he would become like a Jew or a Gentile or whoever in order to reach people for Christ, okay? But be careful out there. Know your limits, amen? We've seen many of people relapse because they're jumping in the wrong areas and doing the wrong things. Focus on yourself first. Amen? Focus on yourself and don't put yourself in dangerous situations.
Amen.
You can still do plenty of work for the Lord and not have to go to a bar on Saturday night. Amen? Amen? But God's got a job for each of us in the Great Commission. But be careful out there. Okay, the Nazarite vow. Here we go. Paul was going to help these Messianic Jews with their vows, okay? Yeah, that was the same vows that Paul himself had taken, okay? The same one. There's five verses that speak. That's your homework, okay? When I say homework, there you go. There's five verses, okay, that speak about the Nazarite vow in Numbers chapter 6, if you guys want to look that up later on, okay? But this was a free will sacrifice that was made to show that a person wanted to go deeper in their faith. Amen? This is something that they did that they felt was necessary, okay? So Paul would sponsor these four. He'd pay for their ritual expenses, their haircuts too. And they had already abstained from things for 30 days to get to this point. All right? Abstained from wine, from meat. They let their hair grow. Amen? And as part of the ritual, they would cut their hair and burn it as an offering, okay? They would burn their hair. It was part of the sacrifice. Then they also had a lamb for a sin offering. They had a ram for a peace offering. They did the whole ritual, amen? So Paul would facilitate the whole thing. He would pay for all these sacrificial animals, everything, amen? Talk about going above and beyond, right? Paul was all in, okay? He was all in for these guys. And I believe Paul would even probably shaved his own head, right, to put the cherry on top, right? I'm with you guys, right? Shaved his own head for the gospel, amen? So why animal sacrifices if Jesus was the sacrifice for us all, right?
Hallelujah.
What did Paul really believe, amen? Well, he believed that these sacrifices, okay, they were memorials. They weren't predictions. They weren't for salvation. They were memorials for these people, amen?
Amen.
And so he follows up with these rituals. And he had become all things to all men without compromising his faith or the gospel. Amen?
Amen?
Paul knew that these sacrifices weren't needed for salvation, but he also knew that some people weren't quite ready for that, to let that stuff go. Amen? They weren't quite ready for that, so he was still going to do all he could do to reach them without compromising his faith. Amen. Clark wrote of this, he said, he had shown them that their ceremonies were useless, but not destructive. That they were only dangerous when they depended on them for salvation. Amen? Only dangerous when they depended on them for salvation. One of the great things about Paul is that he was able to distinguish between what was essential and what was not essential for their salvation. Okay? He knew that this vow, this Nazarite vow, was not essential for salvation, but he was accommodating them for the good of the gospel, right? For the church. In the essential things, Paul was firm, but in the non-essential things, Paul would be accommodating for his witness. And that's exactly the same for us today. If it's paramount to our salvation and a sound doctrine of the Bible, then we should be firm about it, right? Firm and don't compromise. But if it's non-essential, a secondary issue, like do dogs go to heaven, right? Then we're flexible on it because it has no bearing on your salvation.
Amen.
And I'm not going to tell you what I believe about that either. Okay, I've already had some arguments on that one. But anyways, essential and non-essential, amen? Paul was up on the Temple Mount as he was helping these sponsees, okay, and their ritual. And then in the middle of this ritual that took 7 days, he was coming out of the temple area, okay? And it says in verse 27 that when the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple, and they stirred up the whole crowd, and they seized him. As Paul was leaving, some people that saw him, okay, they were going to attack him, okay? These people were not from there, okay? They were from an area called Asia Minor, okay? They were visiting, okay? They weren't there. They were there from Asia Minor, which was a Roman province, and today it's Eastern Turkey, okay? But that's where they were from. So they were 100 miles away. They had come hundreds of miles, okay? And at some point, for Pentecost, and at some point, Paul had planted many churches in their area, in Asia Minor. But he faced significant opposition, right? Everywhere he went. And so it appears some of these enemies of Paul hadn't forgot him and what he stood for, okay? And so, remember, they kicked him out of almost every town, right? They ran him out of town after he would go preach the word for 1 month, 3 months, 2 years, whatever it was. They ran him out of almost every town, but I'm sure there were some people, a lot of people, that were converted and wanted to hear his message, right? But obviously, there were many that were opposed to it as well, right? The good and the bad. And so they would see him on this day coming out of the temple. But, you know, what was Paul's message and mission that they were so dead against, right? What was it about his mission that they were so dead against? First of all, his message was all about Jesus, right? It was all about Jesus and what he had done through his sacrifice on the cross. What could be wrong with that? Amen? Secondly, as a missionary, he helped establish churches all over many regions that responded to his message, including their area of Asia Minor, right? That was Paul's mission, to proclaim the gospel, to start churches everywhere he went, unafraid and unashamed. And now, hundreds of miles away from Asia Minor, these Jews were visiting the temple for Pentecost, and by divine appointment, they just happened to meet up with Paul, right? Just happened to meet up with him. Now, neither side could believe it. Paul's like, not these guys again, right? Not these guys again. I thought I got away from these guys. And they were still angry and opposed to Paul, and they would stir the people up against him, okay? They still wanted to kill him for preaching the truth. And so they seized him, okay? False accusations, false arrest. Verse 28 says, shouting, fellow Israelites, help us, right? These guys from Asia Minor, they're saying, help us to everyone else. This is the man that teaches everyone everywhere against our people and our law and this place. You know what that is right there? That's three lies in a row. Amen. And besides, he says, he has brought Greeks into the temple and defiled this holy place. Another lie. And then, verse 29, they had previously seen Trophimus and the Ephesian in the city with Paul and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple. That's what they meant. They assumed he had brought a Gentile into the temple. Amen? These hating Jews, if you will, from Asia, had seen Paul coming down from the temple, and they were shouting for help, so they gave four false accusations against Paul to stir the people up. All right? They want to stir the people up and get some backup, right? Excuse me. They said that Paul was against the people, which was a lie. Amen? He was for anybody who would listen to what he had to say about the gospel of Jesus. Okay? Number two, they said Paul was against the law. Another lie. He just said that the law was no longer needed for salvation. He wasn't against it. Do what you want. He was just saying that was not needed for salvation. Number three, they said that Paul was against the temple. Another lie. He had just traveled hundreds of miles to go to the temple for Pentecost. Amen? Amen. He wasn't against the temple. He was helping them with their rituals in the temple. Amen. They were obviously false accusations, okay? That today would have probably been broadcasted on CNN, I'm sure. Okay? Oh, man, I had to throw that in there. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend anybody on that one, but their ratings are down to about 20% right now, too, by the way, just so you know. But But the truth was that Paul taught them what they needed to know to be right with God. All right?
Amen.
And that's what we all want to know today too, right? What do we got to do to be more right with God? Amen? And right, so that we just need to accept, okay? What we need to know is that we just need to accept Jesus as our Savior, amen, and repent, right?
Amen.
Profess it with our mouth and believe it in our heart, and we will be saved,
amen?
Amen? That's all we got to do. And second, he taught that belonging to any special group or religion wasn't enough. They thought because they were Jews that they were good. Everybody's good, right? They just follow their rituals, and everybody's going to heaven. Third, that keeping the law, as if any of us could, amen, wasn't enough either. That's what he was telling them. We can't keep the law. Amen? God knew that. That's why he sent our Savior. Amen? That's what Paul had taught. And Paul was never against the people. He was never against the law. And he was never against the temple. He was there for Pentecost. He was there for the purification. His only real concern in his life was that everyone would be saved. Wasn't against anybody. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's tone it down a little bit here. A father asked his little boy if he knew how a person gets saved. The little boy said, well, we will be saved by going to church every Sunday. Right? And his father said that going to their church each week would not save them. And the little boy said, well, then we better find another church. Right? We're in the wrong church. The point is, are we trusting in the right things for salvation in our lives today? Amen? Are we trusting in the right things? Because remember, we can't earn it, right? We can't earn it. What Jesus did for us on the cross is the only way. And we need only to believe it and receive it.
Amen.
That's it. All of us. And remember that last accusation, amen, that he had brought Gentile Greeks into the temple. He had been walking with them, so they just assumed that he had brought them into the temple with him. But Paul would have never defiled the temple. He had respect, amen. He was a rabbi, remember? He was a rabbi, amen. He knew the penalty was death for a Gentile to be in the temple. He wouldn't do that. And so all these accusations were false. And so, of course, his arrest would be false as well. Verse 30 says, then the whole city was aroused. They riled everybody up. Amen? The whole city was aroused, and the people came running from all directions. Next slide. I got a picture of what it would look like at the temple. There you go. So they would have all been running in here, right? Here's the temple here, okay? They were running from all directions, seizing Paul. They dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. This is what the Temple Mount looked like right here, okay? Imagine the whole city's coming down. It's a big crowd aroused by a big lie, okay? So they seized him. They drug him from the temple. The doors were shut. They put the temple in lockdown, and they sound the alarms, right? As this was happening, the Romans, okay, had soldiers in over here in this corner over here, they call that the Antonia Fortress. Amen? And they were there to keep the peace in Jerusalem and to keep the peace on the Temple Mount, especially during this big festival, okay, of Pentecost. Amen? There was thousands of people visiting, okay? Hundreds of thousands maybe visiting, and they would keep the peace. But there was only 500 soldiers, remember that, okay? So while they're trying to kill Paul, news reached the commander of the Roman troops that the whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. We got to imagine how tough Paul was, right? How many times had they been trying to kill him, right? How many times? Well, here he goes again. Thousands of people are trying to kill him. He would always say that to die would be gain, right? But it wasn't his time yet. He's probably going, when is my time going to be, right? It wasn't his time yet. He had been told that danger was always awaiting him, right? Everywhere he went, danger was awaiting him. But how long was he going to live and breathe the Lord's message? How long was God going to use him? And so they say that there was approximately 500 troops and that they were dispatched. I say by God, amen? They were dispatched by God to come save Paul. And in verse 32 it says, he at once took some officers, talking about the commander, and soldiers, and ran down to the crowd. And when the rioters saw the commander and his soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. They stopped beating him. The commander came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains, just as prophesied, right? Bound with two chains. Then he asked him who he was and what he had done. The Roman commander didn't sympathize with Paul. Amen? Apparently, he didn't even know who he was. He asked him, who are you and what have you done? Right? So it says he came down with hundreds of troops. He grabbed Paul. He drug him away. And as they drug him, they put two chains on him, just like the prophet Agabus had predicted. Paul knew that his time had come. He was in chains. He knew his time had come. Amen? And then it says the commander asked Paul who he was and what his side of the story was. So maybe he was going to get a fair trial after a false arrest. I don't know. Amen? I don't know. But the commander wanted to know why the whole city, that's all they cared about, was the uproar. They had to keep the peace. Amen? He's like, what did you do? What did you do? And verse 34 says that some in the crowd, as he's talking to him, shouted one thing and some another. And since the commander could not get the truth because of the uproar, he ordered that Paul be taken back to the barracks. Paul would be saved again. And they say that it was like, you know what crowd surfing is? Like they probably just crowd surfed him over the top, right? To get him out of there. Amen? When Paul reached the, I don't know anything about that, or moshing, but I'm just saying. I haven't moshed in 10 years, okay? When Paul reached the steps, it says the violence of the mob was so great, he had to be carried by the soldiers. There it is. The crowd that followed kept shouting, get rid of him. Get rid of him. Imagine the scene, right? They're literally dragging Paul away, okay? Everybody's shouting all these lies about him. The commander can't figure out what's going on. And so he says, let's get him out of here. And even with all them 500 soldiers, it wasn't an easy task. Remember, there's thousands of people attacking, right? So they said, let's get him out of here. It says the whole city was in an uproar. And so the population, you know, had multiplied, right, because of Pentecost, okay, to a lot of people. And so they're carrying him out, crowd surfing him out. And in the last verse, they kept shouting, get rid of him. And when they said get rid of him, they meant to kill him, okay? They wanted to kill him. They wanted to take him out. They wanted to execute him because of all the lies they had believed about him, right? They're ready to kill him. Now, when this was happening, I'm sure Paul was reminded of the first time that a person was martyred for the gospel, Stephen, right? Because Paul, who was Saul at the time, was the overseer, and he gave the command for that. Amen? So I'm sure he was reminded of that. And it reminded him, you know, that was some 27 years before. Amen? And shouting out similar, and also it probably reminded him of when they crucified Jesus, right? When they falsely accused Jesus, right? And the things they had done to Jesus, the same thing was playing out, right? And when they said, crucify him, crucify him, about our Lord and Savior, amen? They're saying, get rid of him, get rid of him. But the same outcome, they wanted to murder Paul, just as they murdered our Lord and Savior, amen? But all God's will, amen? So if you're ever falsely accused, okay, or falsely arrested for your belief in the truth of the gospel, remember you're in good company. Amen? Amen. Thanks be to God. We don't have to worry too much about that in our country, but people all over the world are martyred every day for the Christ, for Jesus Christ. Amen? So remember, if you are, you're in good company, and to die is gain, right? Amen. To die is gain. Put God first, and he's going to make your path straight, okay? Straight to heaven. Amen? Straight to heaven, and the place where he has gone to prepare for each of us. Praise God for that. So believe in your heart and profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved.
Amen.
and spread that message. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this reminder, for this encouragement, for this blessing, and for the peace that it gives us. Lord, we ask that you just protect and bless all those that are martyred all over the world, each and every day, Father God. That you use every situation for your good, as you always do. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you give us to serve you and to serve your kingdom and your church. We thank you for the blessings. We thank you for all our answers to prayer, Lord. And we just ask that you bless all those who couldn't be here today, all those that are struggling with their faith, struggling with addiction, struggling with their health. We thank you, Lord, that you have gone to prepare a place for us, and that all that really matters is that we trust in you, repent, and give our lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.